Hi everybody, welcome to another Chats with Chaudhry. I hope you're all safe and well. The sun's shining down here in Surrey today, so I hope it's shining where you are. Today, I am delighted to be joined by Randy France, who is VP for North America Operations for Sterilion. And today we're going to be talking about manufacturing process within pharma and specifically about robotics within the pharma manufacturing. So first of all, Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Razan. How are you?
Very well, it's lovely to meet you. So, where are you today then? Are you in New York? I'm guessing.
No, I'm at our office in Florida today. So,
Well, just to show, I'm wearing a University of Miami top
wow.
because
Okay.
I am a Canes fan. So there you go, and a Dolphins fan. So I'm delighted to be talking to you, Randy. Hopefully you're a Dolphins fan, at
Yeah.
least if you're in Florida. So there you go. So before we start talking about robotics, perhaps you can tell people a little bit about you and
Sure.
your role within Sterilion, and also more about Sterilion as a business if people aren't familiar with the company.
Yeah, sure. So Sterilion as an organization has been building pharmaceutical processing equipment for over 30 years now. And the company started with certain machines and certain models, and then developed and grew over time to the point now where we provide complete fill finish lines. So this includes machines that start with cleaning containers all the way through depyrogenating them and then into the filling and closing and stopping the fill finish part, and then some machinery beyond that. So it's been a 30-year history of very strong development. I know today we're going to talk about robotics and isolator technology and how that's included in that process. So it's a pretty exciting time. Myself, I've been working in this kind of industry for around 20 years now, and I'm responsible for the operations in the business here in North America, in Canada, and the United States. And we're developing and growing and finding the right places and projects for our equipment.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, COVID has impacted lots of businesses or everyone since it came out, and
Yeah.
infected the whole population globally since March. How have you, as a business, supported your employees and your customers during this very difficult period? Have your work practices changed during this period?
Yeah, it is kind of it's a very unique period of time, for sure. It's something that we never anticipated. But one of the strengths of a company like Sterilion is flexibility. And it's not just flexibility in our design processes and in the equipment that we manufacture and how we manage projects, but it's also that flexibility in how do we manage in situations like this pandemic. So we've certainly incorporated at our headquarters in Como, Italy, practices early on to make sure all of our staff are safe. And we're following routines that protect the people and our staff, as well as how can we best support our business regarding these types of circumstances. So we've incorporated over time some more remote working opportunities, allowing us to maintain and continue in dialogue without having to be in person and have the groups together like we normally would. We have, of course, adapted any type of travel requirements. From a customer perspective, that's where it becomes equally as important for us. And in this business, it's important for us to be well connected with our customers and our customer base. Service and support is one of the most, if not the most important elements of what we provide. So we've had to expand on remote connectivity and remote support. These are things we've done in the past. So it's not like we needed to implement anything new necessarily. We're just expanding on and enhancing what we've already done in the past. Now we are eager and anxious to get back into having our engineers and our subject matter experts be on site with customers. We're limited a little bit by these travel restrictions. So we're just implementing different technologies and utilizing different resources to make sure our customers are still supported.
Fantastic. And let's talk about robotics now.
Sure.
Robotics is a very broad term which can mean many different things to many different people. So when we're talking about robotics specifically in terms of the manufacturing process within pharma, what do you mean by robotics and what areas do they really cover?
Yeah, so robotics it's a super interesting technology. It's not a new technology. It's been around for a long time. And in the pharma space, in fact, you can go back over 10 years, almost 15 years, and there were some applications where robotics were implemented. But there were just challenges with certain projects and certain requirements that prevented customers in the past from really pushing and moving towards robotic solutions. So over time, what's kind of occurred, and one of the big changes, which or developments, which we'll talk a little bit more about, relates to the isolator technology. But even before that, what we've done is, as Sterilion and one of the leaders really in this robotic revolution in pharma, if you will, is we created relationships with academia as well as industry, and then of course our own resources, and we came together and we talked about ways and discussed ways on how we can take traditional applications and possibly utilize robotics to make them more efficient and more versatile and more flexible. So starting out with some of the basic machines that utilize robotics in the past, such as processing ready-to-use tubs, we call it, for ready-to-use containers, taking off the lid and the liner so those containers could be filled and closed, kind of enhancing that and saying, okay, what's the next step in a process where we might be able to utilize robotics to handle containers, to assist with the movement of product through the process? And once we really started analyzing that and investigating that and talking with the academic environment and networking more with industry, it opened up a tremendous amount of opportunity to the point now where we've got robotic solutions all the way from the beginning of a process
Right.
through the fill finish process and downstream, such as tray loading, where we take vials and we put them in a tray. We have a fantastic robotic solution that allows us to meet very high outputs using robotics.
Right, fantastic. And looking at the current situation, obviously everyone's priority within pharma right now is to quickly mass produce a future
Sure.
COVID-19 vaccine, hopefully when it's found. So how can the use of robotics help in this particular situation?
Right. That's a good question. It's a great question because one of the important things for people to keep in mind when we talk about robotics is, even though robotics is fascinating and it's a very interesting technology, that doesn't mean it's the right solution and the best solution for every application. So when we talk about like the COVID-19 vaccines and those kinds of products where we want to produce them in high quantities, high volumes, robotics isn't always necessarily the right solution for that. Robotics, well, taking a step back, the traditional machines, let's say prior to robotics for filling solutions, for filling projects, these traditional machines, they process containers typically in more of a linear format, except for the tub, the ready-to-use syringes and vials and cartridges that would come in a tub. And the in vials, for example, these linear processing machines have the ability to process containers at 3, 4, 5 plus 100 per minute. Very high speed, very fast outputs. When you look at robotics from a vial perspective, a bulk vial perspective, they don't process just because of the physics involved. They're not able to process the containers that fast. So when you get above 100 per minute, then a bulk vial filling machine utilizing robotics isn't going to be the best solution.
Right.
It's going to be a linear machine. Robotics is still utilized for these nested containers, these ready-to-use containers, where you still can get some high outputs. But it really gets into some of the details that we need to consider. Is it a syringe? Is it a vial? Is it a cartridge? After it's filled, then how do we handle it? What do we need to do to process it? I might be able to fill it fast, but can I then, that what do I need downstream to still process it quickly? So the point of that is robotics is not necessarily the end all be all for situations like the COVID-19 vaccines and those therapies that where potentially we need a high speed and a high volume solution. That doesn't mean that there isn't a place for them, but it might not be the end result in terms of commercial production. Perhaps earlier in the process, clinical trials, smaller batches, smaller outputs. Now robotics starts to become much more attractive because of its flexibility as well. So there's a place, but it's not where someone can step back and say, I want a robotic machine because robotics are cool and I need to go 400 per minute and I want all robotics. And that happens. People ask about it because they need to learn. They need to know. So we have that discussion and really try to narrow down where does robotics fit for you and where might it not fit for you.
Right. Well, this leads on nicely actually to my next, which was about biotechnology and the production of monoclonal, easy for me to say, antibodies and their needs and features in terms of the use of robotics. I mean, obviously, are they different then to what you would standardly, what would you standard, you know, production?
Mm-hmm. So when you think about monoclonal antibodies and just different, some of the different therapies and treatments that now are more patient specific, personalized medicine types of applications, yep. Your CAR T therapies and different gene therapies and things like that. It starts out with, regardless of if it's a traditional filling machine or a robotic filling machine, you still need to have the modules and the features in that machine to dose that product, to put that product in that syringe or in that vial. So one of the important things we need to keep in mind is our dosing pumps, for example, our dosing systems. Those aren't going to change whether I use a traditional machine or a robotic machine. And that's important to keep in mind because the robotic piece of it, what that offers and what that provides is it provides a way for us to uniquely handle the different containers through the entire process. So, and it offers more flexibility, easier changeover and turnover than traditional machines do. So what does that mean for these personalized medicine types of treatments? One way to look at it is if you need a product specific line, again, that might be high output, let's say above 100 per minute, 200-300 per minute, then, and maybe it's one or two vial sizes that you're going to be processing, then a robotic solution, it's not the right approach. You would need more of a standard approach. When we talk about patient-specific or typically lower volume, lower throughput types of applications, now robotics starts to become much more attractive because it can easily process those products and those containers in that 100 and less per minute output range. On top of that, if I need quick changeover and turnover between products, between container sizes, from a 2 ml to 100 ml, now my interaction with my robotic filling machine is much, much quicker, much more efficient than a traditional filling machine, right. Especially if I'm in an isolator. Now I've dramatically increased my sterility assurance. I don't necessarily need to enter into that processing area inside the cabin of where the filling takes place to make changes, so I don't need to compromise that. And now I can start to switch between products or organize my production and my campaigns in a way that is very efficient for these types of personalized or lower output, lower volume treatments.
That's really interesting. Well, talking about isolators then, because you mentioned isolators at the beginning when we started talking as well.
Yeah.
You know, that technology has obviously developed in parallel with robotics within the industry. So how have you and the industry incorporated robotics and integrated them in the use of isolators as well?
Yeah, you know, this has been one of the also kind of the explosive items that's increased this interest in robotics is the fact that, again, robotics have been around, but developments, enhancements were made with the robotic technology that allowed us to now integrate comfortably robotics inside isolators, into an isolator application. So isolators have been around for a long time too. In the early days, it was, you know, it was really new technology, and it took a while to work out a lot of the kinks and the twists and the turns to make it a technology that the risk-averse pharma market is more comfortable with, and that the regulatory agencies understand to kind of bring everybody along together. So it's taken a while to get to this point. Where we are at now, 80 to 90% of our projects are isolator projects.
Right.
10 years ago, it wasn't at that percentage. It was 15 years ago, it was flip-flopped. It was probably 20%. There were a few kind of on that cutting, bleeding edge that were implementing isolators. Now it's very common. In fact, a lot of the regulatory agencies, at least in the United States, have said, if you're going to be implementing a new line, you really need to look at isolator technology. So kind of in parallel as that's grown, robotics have always been an interesting technology for us to utilize where we could. Now we've got the flexibility to actually put them in isolators. So this kind of opened up these opportunities where we can, along with the developments of personalized medicine and these other treatments, where we can say, hang on a second, you know, 10 years ago, we were trying to figure out how could we decontaminate using pulsed light, the external surfaces, or a UV light, a light source, the external surfaces of these ready-to-use tubs. And you know, we're trying and we're coming up with different conveyor systems and looking at angles and doing all kinds of calculations, and it was very difficult. So we kind of tabled it a little bit. Now we start thinking about robotics, and it's like, hey, you know what, let's revisit that again. Now we can put a robotic arm, and robotic arms, we have to think of it like they're anthropomorphic. They're like our human arms. So we've got the logic inside the control systems, just like our brain, that tells our arm, tell the robot to pick up this coffee cup or this pen. So we've got, it's using that intelligence to tell it what to do. Now we take a robotic arm, we can put it in an isolator, and we can say, hey, why don't you pick that tub up? And why don't you expose that at different angles to this pulsed light source and then discharge it to the filling machine? And now I've completely decontaminated all surfaces of that tub, whereas in the past, we were unable to reach a result that we were happy with, that was a good solution. Now we've got it, and we were able to do that utilizing robotics. At the same time, put it in an isolator. So now we hand that product off to an isolator, isolated system that uses robotics now to handle the containers, the syringes, the vials for filling and closing and so forth. So they are two technologies that are kind of evolving and gaining still a lot more interest. Again, it's not, you have to look at each application. It's application specific to determine what's the best solution, but they've evolved together and they've been very complementary in the process.
Well, actually, and the other thing, I suppose, when you're using robotics in those sort of processes, you get more consistency in production and manufacturing as well, don't you? Because the results are consistent. Absolutely. All the way through. So final question, yeah. Then, in terms of Steriline's own lines and machines then, can all of them be used under isolators, or do they need a tailor-made solution?
So I can't say that all of them can be.
Yep.
You know, could they be? We can build isolators for just about anything, let me say. But there are some. The reason I answer it this way is there are some machines like depyrogenation tunnels that you wouldn't put in an isolator, or upstream from that, vial washing machines. It's not a machine that you would put in an isolator. But downstream from that, then you can put just about any machine you want in an isolator. Now, again, after we, so there's the upstream, the extreme upstream, and the, I'll call it the extreme downstream, that you wouldn't put in an isolator. I wouldn't put a tray loader, for example, in an isolator, which is a machine that after the vials are filled and stoppered and crimp capped, so the sterile barrier's in place, the product's protected, I wouldn't need to put downstream equipment in an isolator at that point. But everything in between, we can put in an isolator. Right. And isolators do provide the best containment. They are the best containment solution to give you that highest sterility assurance level. So again, 80 to 90% of our projects are isolators. And the important thing is, these machines and these isolators, you know, they're highly engineered, they're finely tuned pieces of equipment. So it's very difficult to say, well, I'm just going to take that off the shelf and use that here. You really need to look at each project. You need to look at the process. You need to look at the output. You know, what are their criteria? What are their requirements? And how does everything need to interface together? How does it need to fit in their real estate, in their facility? And then we go through this design process really for every project to make sure we're delivering the perfect solution.
Fantastic. Well, that's been really interesting. Actually, I've learned, again, I love doing these interviews. I learn lots more about farms and different aspects every time I do it. So Randy, that's been really interesting. If people want to know more information about the robotics isolators and about Steriline in general, where can they get more information?
The best place really is our website. We've put a lot of effort into enhancing our website and really improving the data, the content, the information. And really another great source is LinkedIn. We post a lot of really good information on LinkedIn. We have a great marketing director and department that makes sure we're keeping that that media source updated with really helpful and useful information. So I think between the website and LinkedIn, those are two great places. Once the world opens back up, we're going to be live and in person again at different exhibitions and symposiums around the world. And that's a great place to get together and have good conversations about these types of solutions.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you very much for that, Randy. As Randy said, you can check out the website and the link will be above the video. And also, if you've got any questions for Randy, by all means, leave some comments below the video. I'm sure he'll be happy to answer them, or message him directly. Again, I'm sure he'll be delighted to do that. And you look out for their posts. I mean, he mentioned the marketing director. I know Mirko. He's a lovely man and he's very, very good on LinkedIn, putting lots of stuff up. And also, I know you go to lots of virtual events as well, and you support them as well. So even though you can't meet them live in person, you can still meet them at virtual events as well, which they're attending throughout the year as well. So all that stuff for me says, Randy, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining me from sunny Florida. I hope it's sunny today anyway.
It is.
Good. I know we're getting into hurricane season and stuff, so you have to be careful. It is a bit volatile, the weather in Florida in October.
It is.
I know
that.
So, but thank you very much for joining me. I hope you'll find that useful. As always, check out the website. If you've got any questions, let Randy know, and stay well and stay safe. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care.